Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Donna Crowe. I'm so glad you're here. I'm getting such great feedback from you guys that you're really enjoying these broadcasts, and thanks for the encouragement. And thank you, Dr. K, for being here and sharing your time with us. And I'm really enjoying this. Today we have a special guest. Dr. Klein Smith is a special guest. We have another special guest. His name is Christopher, right? Oh my gosh, I forgot your name.
Yeah, okay.
Christopher's here, and he's going to be sharing about his family situation. We're talking about children today and how colostrum can be beneficial for children. And, you know, it shouldn't be a stretch to imagine that that's true, since God designed it for babies, you know. This stuff is made for babies. And I just want to share a brief story myself. I've got a number of clients that are school teachers, and they buy this in numerous kilos at a time, not just for themselves, but also for their children. I have one woman who said that when she started on colostrum, she stopped getting all the little colds and things that she was normally used to picking up from the kids. She went through an entire school year with, you know, no colds. And she's in a private school, and she has a snack every day for the kids that she provides. And because colostrum's a food, it's not a supplement. You know, supplements, even if they're natural, they're man-made. You know, they're, you know, magnesium, vitamin C, they're still made in a laboratory. Colostrum is made by the cow. You know, it's made by nature. It's a food. And so she'll add colostrum in with, like, applesauce and things like that, and she's seen her kids in her classroom have far, far fewer illnesses. And it's very safe. Again, it's a food. It's very safe for children. And so we're going to talk about that here today. So I'm going to introduce Dr. Klein again. Dr. Klein Smith is one of the foremost experts in the world on colostrum for every kind of need. He's traveled the world sharing this knowledge with others and seen amazing, you know, nearly miraculous, you know, results in people's lives. He shared about that. If you didn't catch the other broadcast, you might want to go and listen in. We've heard testimonies of people with swine flu in the hospital coming up and out in a really short time. We've seen all kinds of amazing testimonies, and we're going to hear some again here today. So welcome, Dr. Klein Smith.
Hey, Donna. Thanks for having us again.
I'm going to let you take it from here, and you introduce Christopher when you're ready.
All right. Well, let me, folks, we're going to jump right into this because I think Christopher Clark has a pretty interesting story. It's not just about his second-born son. So I'm going to introduce Chris Clark. Chris, we are hoping that you will tell us about what the colostrum has done, not only for your children, but for your wife as well.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first off, to introduce a little bit about the story that we had mentioned and let everybody know about. First off, my second-born son, Kingston, was born on August 16th of this year, and he has seen some fantastic results. But before that, my wife was having some issues with the pregnancy, having a hard time gaining weight, a hard time with her appetite, and so for various reasons, obviously the doctors were worried that Kingston would be small anyway. Now, my wife is 6'1". She comes from a very tall family. Her dad is 6'10", and I'm a big guy. So it was strange to me that she had no appetite. Something was definitely going kind of wrong. So what we did is we ended up getting her on colostrum. And immediately after getting the colostrum, and she was halfway done with the pregnancy at the time, about 5 months, four or five months pregnant. Immediately after getting on the colostrum, her appetite ended up going up. So that was fantastic. And she was feeling very sick, very ill all the time, and it seemed to just fade away and go away as soon as she started taking the colostrum. And, you know, she couldn't stomach anything at the time, so what she did was just take the capsules, and she was taking about 6 capsules a day. And I would say within 3 weeks, she was back to eating a more regular diet. She was able to keep foods down, and she felt a whole lot better. And then on top of that, her sleeping habits just went from way erratic. She wasn't sleeping at all, and she was just out like a light all the time. So things seemed to be on the up. And so that's been the most beneficial thing for her, is it just smoothed out a bunch of pregnancy issues that, you know, where when you're going into the doctor, they just say, well, these are just pregnancy issues and they happen sometimes. Just try to scarf some food down if you can hold it down, which is for any women that have been pregnant that are on the call, obviously are going to understand that that's pretty difficult to do. So that really helped her. Now, after that, though, it came down to we were about 6 weeks early, and she started feeling contractions. And since she had measured so small and had the issues with eating for the first few months, the doctors were a little bit worried that Kingston would be small. And so they put her on bed rest, and she wasn't supposed to move. But about a week later, she ended up going into labor. So we rushed to the hospital. They ended up trying for 13 hours to stop the stop the labor, giving her all sorts of medication. And Kingston just wanted to come either way. And finally, after 13 hours, they just said, you know what, we're going to give you Pitocin. We're going to get the baby out because your body just wants to go. You're progressing. So as it progressed, a slurry of doctors. We had a respiratory doctor. We had two pediatricians on top of our regular doctor that were in there. We had a whole bunch of nurses, and just because anytime you know they're five, six weeks early, even though it's not severely premature, they still do have some breathing issues a lot of times. And because he was measuring small,
The doctor did kind of inform you though that there might be some breathing issues. There might
be. Yep, absolutely, and that came because she had measured small. So they and with the ultrasounds, he looked pretty small, and they were just worried about it. So they did inform us that there was a possibility that we were going to be in the hospital for a couple of weeks in the NICU, and they wanted to just be very safe. And they said, you know, at the very least, he'll probably need some breathing assistance. So don't be worried; we have everybody here. So about an hour passed, he came, and to the doctor's astonishment, he looked at him and said, this baby really 6 weeks, the pediatrician that picked him up said, looked at the other doctor and said, is this baby really almost 6 weeks early? And the doctor looked at him and said, yeah, I mean, I unless I have my weeks mixed up, he's that early. And the pediatrician looked at him and said, this is the biggest 5.5 week early baby I've ever seen. He came out at 6 pounds 15 ounces and perfectly healthy.
And your wife did not have any gestational diabetes, because that can actually affect the size of the baby at all.
Yep, no issues at all. No issues at all. He was much bigger than they had anticipated him being from the previous ultrasound, and he had absolutely no issues at all.
So no gastrointestinal?
Nothing at all. His blood sugar was a little bit low. What I ended up doing, they said, well, it'll probably, and here's another little blurb on that, is they said it'll probably take at least a day for his blood sugar to come up. We're going to run an IV. So we had him in our room, and I snuck a capsule into a bottle, a capsule of colostrum. I opened it up, and literally within about 2.5 hours, his blood sugar came up, and the nurses said, well, we don't know why, but we're going to take the IV out now because his blood sugar rose fine, no problems. And these are things that I knew that were probably possible just on the research that I had done personally on colostrum and having it help blood sugar with people. So all in all, he came out fantastic. We are still giving him about a capsule, half a capsule's worth of colostrum in every bottle. And his growth charts are unbelievable. He's just over 3 months, almost 4 months now, and he's about 16 pounds. He's a lug now, and he's just growing. And he's not catching colds. He's got a bunch of cousins that are coughing on him and breathing on him all the time, and he doesn't seem to pick the colds up. No problems at all.
And they've been suffering from colds and flus and all the little nasties that kids pick up, right?
Yep, absolutely. Especially right now in Utah, there's a lot of colds and flus and things going around. And in that time, I have two nieces, and both have been sick with the flu or cold 3 or 4 different times. And when they're all over at Grandma's house, they're all sharing those germs. And Kingston and my other son, Jax, have not been sick at all. And if they've, Jax got a little snivelly nose for one day, and that was it. And, you know, he takes the moochus, the 2-year-old takes the moochus. So that part of it's been fantastic.
Now, so, as far as recovery time for your wife, did she experience any kind of benefits there?
Absolutely. She was up and back to work. She's the kind of person that can't stand laying around in bed all day long. And so she, even though she didn't go back to work full time, she was up and back to work within 4 weeks, and feeling fine when the doctors had said, you know, take your time, you can take up to 6 weeks really to just, you know, feel better. Within 4 weeks, she was up and working on her feet. She's a hairstylist, so she did see a lot of benefits there. And again, the sleeping, she was able to rest. I've never, it was like we came home from the hospital and she was out for 2 days and just feeling really good. And after, you know, obviously after going through labor and all of those things, she was tired anyway. But the one thing that she did say is when she woke up, she said, "I feel fantastic." And I really think that we have to attribute a lot of that to the colostrum that she had been taking.
All right. Well, the two boys are doing phenomenal, and they are on colostrum all the time. Now, let me ask you a question. When you with Kingston, the little guy, we like to call little ones, unless they're moving around, rolling or crawling or something, we call them buckets. And that term came from just our kids. When you had a car seat, they sat in the bucket, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, with Kingston, how do you give that to him specifically? Kind of break it down for me.
As far as all we do, and now we... here's another thing. Our kids, just so everybody knows, we have some problems with lactose intolerance in our family. So I know when I was doing research initially on colostrum, there's a lot of questions about, you know, is it safe if you're lactose intolerant? It's absolutely safe. Both of my kids have seen fantastic benefits as far as the lactose intolerance goes. But what we do is he's still on soy milk. But what we do is we shake up a bottle, just open the bottle up. I open up a capsule of the colostrum, and all I do is just roll about half, you know, roll it between my fingers and empty out half of it into a bottle. And then you shake it. You got to shake it up really vigorously. And he drinks it down fine, no problems.
Okay. And then now with Jack, if I remember correctly, he had a pretty severe case of lactose intolerance before he started on the colostrum.
Bad, very, very bad. And it started out very similarly to how it has with Kingston. We tried him on milk. My wife nursed for a while. But even to breast milk, he was having a lot of issues. This was Jax. He's about 3 now. And his lactose intolerance got to the point where, you know, when he was having severe diarrhea. I mean, he'd have a cup of chocolate milk. You know, the kids loved their chocolate milk, and he wanted to drink it, but he would pay for it afterwards. Bad gas, bad diarrhea. I mean, really, really bad diarrhea to the point where it would leak out of a diaper. I mean, we wouldn't even feed him any milk. Also to the point where it was burning him. It was literally so acidic that it was burning him, and he was bleeding and all sorts of things like that. And literally within a week, what we started doing is the colostrum powder in oatmeal. And I had talked to you, and you had mentioned that, you know, you can just give it to him in oatmeal or a drink, however you want to do it, and it will help with the lactose intolerance. So within a week, we gave him another glass of milk. I just wanted to kind of see how he would do, and I gave him half a glass of chocolate milk, and he had no issues at all. And now every night before he goes to bed, I don't think he goes to bed without a sippy cup of chocolate milk. He can't live without it, and he has no issues with the... Yep. no issues with it. And what we even do with the chocolate milk is I'll even throw in, again, maybe a full capsule, and I'll pop open a capsule of the colostrum and put it right into the chocolate milk and shake it up. And you know, they don't notice it. They can't tell that it's even there. And he drinks it down just fine, and it seems to have solved. And that's another important thing for people to know is it's not as if we've given him any other medication for lactose intolerance at all. We haven't done anything. You know, it was something that the doctors said, you know, it's something that he'll either have or he'll get over when he's older. And it'll probably take years for him to get over, and he'll probably always have at least some issues, maybe bloating, gas, with ice cream or, you know, the things that we as adults love to eat as far as, you know, milk products go. And he has no issues at all anymore. No gas, no diarrhea. And like I said, he can't go a day without at least one glass of chocolate milk.
Very good. Now, that's the kind of story that we are getting for the past 20 years. That's the kind of stories that we get, Donna. And I got to tell you, when you see little guys like that, little peewees that just, you know, they're suffering, and then all of a sudden they don't anymore. And it's putting that little body back into balance. And little ones like Kingston that are just tiny little buckets, even before they're born, they're getting colostrum. Your wife was taking it. We know that whatever the mother is digesting, that's what's feeding that little fetus. So, Chris, I appreciate you being on the call with us, and I know that we just posted the information so that people can hopefully be listening in on this call. I know, Donna, you have it on your radio blog as well, and appreciate you being on the call. Before Chris goes,
I'd like to ask, can you state again the dosage that your wife was taking during that time?
She started out on six capsules a day. She would take three in the morning and three right before she would go to bed, up to right before. It was kind of funny. It's not like she was eating the powdered colostrum. I happen personally to like the flavor of it. I eat it straight out of the jar. She doesn't love the flavor of it. But what she was saying is her body was almost feeling a craving for it. So she went from six capsules to about starting 2 or 3 weeks before she gave birth, she upped the dosage to, I would say, double that. She was taking almost 12 capsules a day because she was saying, I feel like I need to take more. I don't know why. And she doesn't know why. And she said, I don't get it, but I'm going to take more. And so she was taking more. And she said it really helped her to kind of smooth through her day, especially those last couple of weeks of pregnancy that seemed to be the most miserable for people. She said it really helped to do a lot of things as far as here's what she said. She said, I feel more balanced when I take more of it. So if that says anything to anybody, that's kind of where she was at. But she started out with the six capsules a day and upped that to about double, 3 weeks before she gave birth.
Thank you for that. One of our listeners was interested in the dosage, so thank you.
Sure.
And thank you so much for sharing this story. It's very encouraging. It's very inspiring, you know. In the United States, we have sort of an epidemic of low birth weight babies and babies that are failing to thrive, and this is really good news.
Well, and it's interesting because a few years ago, I got hooked up with Channel 4 News here in Salt Lake City, and we were in touch with a daycare center. And the daycare center had, I think, roughly 40 kids. 20 of them we put on a placebo. 20 of them we put on the Moochus that he was talking about for Jax's, his older one. And it was interesting because we had everything set up to the point where even Channel 4 was going to be coming in over the course. So it was designed for a 6-month study. We had half of the kids on a placebo, half on the Moochus. And we had Channel 4 coming in and videotaping, and we were documenting the behavioral as well as the therapeutic, the wellness issues that a lot of kids see by going to a daycare. So things like bronchitis, RSV, flus, colds, sniffles, just, you know, all the little nasties that float around within a daycare. And I'm not slamming daycares out there, folks. It's just because you get this
big conglomeration of kids that get exposed to one another, be touching and feeling and all the rest of it, they have a tendency to pass off whatever bug they might be carrying, and it kind of just starts to circulate, and then pretty soon, over the course of several months, it ends, and then it comes back, and it's kind of a nasty little cycle. Well, we started everybody out, and the first videotaping from Channel 4 News came out, and they were doing kind of the preemptive on all these kids. And Donna, I don't know if you've ever been to a daycare, but when you've got 40 little kids running around, it is pandemonium. I mean, they're you know, especially when they're you know, from anywhere from, you know, 1-2 years old up to maybe 4 or 5 even, you know, trying to talk logic to that age group, especially when they're in a group, when they're in a herd, if you will, doesn't work out so well. You know, you hope to gather them, you hope to get them settled down enough to at least listen to a story or nap time or whatever the case may be. Well, it was funny because over the course of we started out supposed to be 6 months, so we got into it about 2 months. And there was one boy in particular, Hunter Shepherd, that he's been actually written up in different magazines. He's in the book that I just released. And it was interesting for him because not only was he the son of one of the owners, but at 18 months, now you're a mother, at 18 months, what if you had a child that never slept through the night?
Oh, my gosh.
At 18 months. Now, you know, my kids came out, and literally within 2 weeks, now keep in mind, my kids were also on colostrum before they were born, but at 2 weeks they were sleeping through the night, all night long. My wife would get a 7-8 hour good night's sleep, but at 18 months had never slept through the night. Now, let's compound that a little bit. At 18 months, he had already had 2 sets of tubes put in. He had drainage from his ears, drainage from his nose. He had constant drainage in the back of his throat. And he was one of these kids that was just constantly sick. What was fun about this particular situation, his pediatrician was also his uncle. So he had unlimited medical care. Okay. Now,
yes.
3 days into, and he was in the control group. He was on the moochus. 3 days into the moochus, all the drainage stops. Actually, no, I'm sorry. 3 days into it, he starts sleeping. 7 days into it, all the drainage stops. I get a call from his pediatrician saying, "Okay, I know that he's in the control group. What is this stuff?" And that article that you have for the health practitioner. Now, folks, I want to tell you, don't let that name scare you. Yes, it has 11 pages of references of the 29. It's designed to kind of give you an overview of not only the formation of colostrum, colostrogenesis versus lactogenesis, or the formation of milk, but it goes into some of the constituents and some of the benefits. It goes into a lot of the different disease-type situations that may be helped with colostrum and putting in a balanced state. So I sent that to him. He became one of our clients, and every single child, whether the mother breastfed or not, he was out there saying, take a read of this, take a look at that, and these are the results that we have seen, not just with Hunter, but with kids across the board. Now, back to the story. We were into the 6 month study 2 months when the parents would come in. I remember walking into the daycare and just watching and going, I don't know how these ladies do this, because the kids were all out of control at the very beginning. 2 months into this, I walked into the daycare and I started looking around going, oh, this is strange, because the noise level had come down significantly. The half that were still on the placebo were still out of control. They were still trying to calm them down. They were sick. They were coughing. They were sneezing. They were draining. You know, all the flus and colds and everything were still circulating in there. The other half, now this is where it started to pique everybody's interest, because, you know, in the morning when they're dropping the kids off, it's they run in, here's little Johnny or here's little Sally, and here's the diaper bag, and I got to go, bye. But when they're picking them up, you know, they're there for maybe 5 minutes just dropping off and running. But when they're picking them up, now you've ended your work day, you've ended your daycare day, if you will, and I want to know how little Johnny or little Sally did. Were they good? Did they, you know, was there any tensions going on between any of the kids or whatever? It was fun because even when I walked in and I looked at these kids, one half of the school was still out of control. The other half are sitting in a horseshoe listening to stories. They're quiet. They're attentive. The perception of what was going on around them wasn't even in the back of their head. What was even more fascinating is as we started looking at this two-month time frame, their colds, their flus, their RSV, their bronchial, their all of the different things had gone away. Now, I wasn't the only one that saw that change. 2 months into the study, I get a call from the owners, and they are very serious, very upset. We need to have a very serious conversation about the study. So I go to the daycare. We all sit down together, and they said, we need to pass something to you that could be very detrimental to our business. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, because I'd done a lot of work in looking for the right daycare. They were well-established, long-term. I mean, they'd been around. I thought, well, maybe they're going out of business. They said, no, there's nothing wrong with the daycare except for the fact that the placebo group, the kids, and I mean, it was, they didn't even know which kids were which except for the fact that mentally, physically, everything changed for one half of their school. Well, the parents of the group that was on the placebo had come to them and said, what is it that those other kids are getting? Because they're not sick, they're attentive, they will have conversations. You know, they're still kids, but there was such a dramatic change that the parents came to the owners and said, if we don't get this stuff, whatever they're getting, for our kids too, we're going to pull them out of the daycare. Now, how would you like to have a business that there's we're in a six-month study or supposed to be in a six-month study come to you and say, we've got to end the study because the kids that are on your product are doing so much better, and the parents have realized it, and now they want it or they're walking. We ended up having to stop the study because I said, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get the parents that all the kids that were on the placebo, and I'll have a chat with them. I said, because they agreed to this. Their response to me was, wait a minute, we didn't know that it was going to make those other kids not get sick. We didn't know that, you know, when you walk into the daycare, and it's not just at the daycare, it's at home, you know, as well, that they're attentive, they're perception is that of focus, and you can play with them and talk with them, and they don't get sick. And you know, they just went on and on and on. I said, well, so what would you like me to do? Well, we are very serious. If we can't get what they're getting, we're going to end up leaving the daycare. And eventually, we actually closed down the study because of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Now,
so obviously they were wanting the product, and I'm assuming they got on the product themselves, got their children on the product.
Absolutely, and some of those kids. I mean, you know, you can't look at a child when they're 2, 3, 4 years old, for the most part, and say that child is ADD or HD. You know, you can't primarily focus. You might have tendencies to think in that direction. But it's interesting that a lot of those kids, they went on not only from preschool, but into kindergarten, where they were diagnosed, in first grade, where they were diagnosed ADD. And it was interesting because a lot of those parents, when they were younger in the daycare, they stayed on colostrum religiously. Then they got off of it thinking, oh, well, you know, they're out of the daycare, they're out of that situation where they're going to be exposed, and they stopped taking the colostrum. Well, it's funny because we actually had some of those kids, the parents came back to us when they were, you know, in kindergarten and first grade, where they were diagnosed, and they got back on the colostrum, and they were pulled out of special ed.
Wow, that's amazing.
Now, that's huge to me. That tells me we're definitely on the right track. And it's, you know, we're not talking about a cure here. We're not talking about medicine here. We're talking about taking those building blocks that are in the four corners of colostrum, and we're putting those into, obviously, an unbalanced system. That's all we're doing. We're trying to give those building blocks so that the body then takes those in their whole food form, utilizing them for the best outcome, which obviously came to focus and clarity and cognition and functionality and, you know, not to mention just overall wellness. But that was,
well, the thing
that was a fun
the
one.
Thing that I think about this also is that, you know, they didn't change their diet. You know, people generally eat a lot more sugar than they should, and sugar makes you very susceptible to bacteria and viruses and things like this. And the only thing they changed was the colostrum, and you know, still not changing the diet and seeing those kind of results is pretty amazing.
Well, and it's fun when this that was actually written up in the doctor's prescription for healthy living, because it made such an impactful story, because there were so many parents that read that and got their kids on it, and we just, I mean, testimonial after testimonial, like Chris's with Kingston, with Jack's, and a host of others. I mean, literally, I would have to say thousands of others, based on the sales of our Moo Chews and the colostrum around the world.
I love that.
Now, here's one that was rather interesting, because in the article from the doctor's prescription for healthy living, and this one was for children. You know, in the article there was a study that was done, Center for Studies of Sensory Impairment, Aging, and Metabolism. And it was interesting because as you read this, it started looking at malnourished children, and especially at this time of the year where, you know, everybody, for, I won't say everyone, but for the most part, you know, the rest of the year people sort of turn an eye. About this time of year, people start looking at how can I help others. Well, this is something that I used to do a lot. We used to give away a lot of colostrum, not just for, you know, research, clinical research, but we used to give it away to children in Africa with AIDS and HIV. We used to give it away to different third world countries and groups out there to help with just malnourishment, because the colostrum at 52% protein is pretty phenomenal in taking an undernourished, a malnourished child and bringing them back. Things like rotavirus. We've worked with kids on stuff like that, where their extended bellies, you know, they get rid of the parasites and the other things that they're suffering from, and you see this child go from an obviously undernourished, malnourished child to somebody that's well and healthy. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty fun.
That's wonderful. So you're saying that colostrum is effective against certain virus? I mean, excuse me, parasites.
Oh, absolutely. To the point, and even to the point of fungus. And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, and I know this gets a little graphic. You actually can find parasites and fungus in the stool.
Yes.
You know, and as you cleanse, as you get rid of that, those different pathogens and bacteria and parasites and everything else, you can actually see that. And I've had people that have taken photos and sent that to me and say, this is what this is doing to me. I'm getting rid of the you know, the piggybackers, if you will.
That's important information for people to know.
So, I mean, those types of things, that's what colostrum does. Is it helps with the growth, the development, the wellness, the immune side of it. One that has recently, now, I've been dealing with this for almost the 20 years, but recently, when I say recently, in the, probably the past 5 to 7 years, something has started rising up, and that is autism, Asperger's, the different variations of autism in children, and this is one where it's kind of. Whenever you look at adults, I look at them and say, you know, I wish we had something that could put you in health, and we helped them through there. But when you're looking at it, and because of choices that people make, they sort of put themselves, potentially, they put themselves in a negative situation. Children don't have that opportunity. They get placed into those opportunities without a choice for the most part. Autism is one of those things that it has an effect on one out of every 150 kids throughout the United States and throughout industrialized nations. And when you look at some of the reasons that they are now coming up with, like the buildup of heavy metals. We actually had an article, and I'll be sending that to you so you can place that on your website. But we have an article that goes over autism, Asperger's, and the different variations to the point where, for me, I look at this and I say, I have failed those parents. I have failed that child. But when you talk to the parents of a child with autism to the point where they've never had a conversation or that child is self-abusive, and you can start them on colostrum and watch that child change, meaning the self-abuse may be limited or even go away altogether. Or you have a child that they are non-communicative at all, and they are able to have small, short conversations with that child. Or even to the point where children that were once self-abusive, non-communicative, are answering the door. Small little things where children have just absolutely blossomed into being not more, you know, not as communicative as you and I, but to the point where for a parent, that's a huge step. That's a gigantic leap. Personally, I look at that and say, you know, I feel like I failed because I think we should be able to do more. But I've had so many parents who have come back to us with autistic children who have said, you would not believe what's happened here. I mean, we had one child that was written up. As a matter of fact, I can send that story and the photo and everything else to you as well, where he was a little bit older. He is 16, 17 years old, no friends. He was deaf on one side. He was not, I won't say paralyzed, but he had a percentage of impairment on one side. And just kids picked on him. He was old enough at the point where once he was through the schooling that he was going, the professionals came to the mother and said, he's at the point where he has to be institutionalized. He's not going to have the opportunity for a job. He's not going to have the opportunity to go out and live on his own. And the mother writes this story in her own hand. He came home one day after starting on the colostrum. And she said something to him, but on the wrong side. She realized what she had done. If you spoke to him on one side, he wouldn't hear you, so he would not respond at all. Well, she said something to him on the wrong side, and he responded.
Wow.
She said, you can hear me? He said, well, yes. What do you mean? How long this has only happened in the last, you know, few days? And not only did the hearing come back, but his impairment improved to the point where he was functional on his own. She takes him back to the institution to have him reanalyzed, and they've said, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what you're doing. We don't know what he's doing, but something has shifted with this boy to the point where he is making friends, meaning he's outgoing. He is going out into the school and meeting people all on his own. His behaviors have changed to the point where he's coming home and saying, hey, I have a new friend today, and this is his name. And I mean, the mother is ecstatic. I mean, absolutely.
How lovely. That's
ecstatic.
Just lovely.
The professionals, the health professionals that were telling the mother a few short months, 4 to 6 months prior to this, once your son is through with school, he's at the point where he needs to go to a home to be monitored. He's not going to be on his own. The institution came back to her and said, we don't know what you've been doing. Don't stop. But it got to the point where they told her he can, with some basic monitoring, be on his own and get a job. So it's not a cure-all, folks. That's not what I'm. That's not the end of the story. It's not a cure-all. What it's doing is it's taking an unbalanced body, giving it building blocks, and allowing that unbalance to some degree or another. And I have seen it in cases where it's been, you know, in my mind 100%, but in some degree or another, benefiting that child and balancing that child.
I would have to say, you know, I don't think it's possible to take colostrum and not see benefits from it. You know, it's so filled with nutrition and growth factors, immune factors. I just think it's impossible to take it and not benefit. But what those benefits will be, that's what you can't say. It will
right.
specifically do this for everyone, you know. Like I mentioned before, I have a number of clients who have seen hair regrow on their head, you know, and but it doesn't happen that way for everybody. But this is certainly a product that if you have any kind of health issue or challenge, it's definitely worth giving it a trial run, because it's just not possible for it not to help you, and you may see great benefits.
Yeah. Well, and even to the point where I have a gentleman that has been taking my products for many, many, many years. The way that I met him, his little boy had glioblastoma, brain cancer, and had only a few weeks to live. And his one request, just give me some time. Now, the boy was having to be tube fed, and because that was one question, was he able to take the powder? Is he able to take capsules or the chewables or anything? No. So the father had to learn how to feed the boy through the tube, and it did end up giving him, you know, actually many more months with his son. But and because of that, this is the one colostrum that he absolutely, he says, that's the one thing. I don't care what else is out there. That's the one thing I never suffer without. And he makes sure that his daughter, that himself, and that his wife, they all take it. We have folks that, like I had twin boys with muscular dystrophy, and their father just recently in the last month or so has called back up and said, you wouldn't believe how good the boys are doing. They don't suffer from what most MD kids suffer from, whether it be the stability in their walking or in their running or in their mobility of their hand movements or anything. And he says, and that's I 100%. It's focused on the colostrum. I mean, the stories just go on and on. The little newspaper that you have. Now, I wouldn't consider her a child. Well, I guess at 46, I would consider her a child at 19. But you know,
yes,
at 19
yes.
years old, you have Leon from Malaysia, and you can. That's one where you can physically look at the photo of her holding the photo, the before and after. And go, that is an absolute change to that individual. And it's not just the effect that it has on that one person. The resounding effect, the ripple, if you will, has had an effect on every member of her family, friends, neighbors, I mean, just all across Malaysia and Singapore.
Well, and you would see the same thing, you know, with autism. You look at that individual and say, what a blessing for that individual. But autism affects entire families, you know. Autism causes divorce, you know. It's a devastating illness, not to just that person, but to the people that love that person. And what a blessing to have something that can make those kinds of changes, you know. It's a beautiful thing.
When you have parents, and again, I look at that and go, gosh, I wish it had done more. But when you take a parent that says, I had a conversation
yes.
with my child today, and
yes.
people take that for granted. I mean, you know, I have a daughter who today is 18 years old. Happy birthday, Katie, out there, if you happen to be listening, which she does, by the way.
Aw, happy birthday.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of parents, and I was watching the TV the other night, which I don't normally do, but I was watching this about parents fighting with their teenagers. Folks, when you have an autistic child that you've never had a conversation with, ever in their entire life. And you can have a small conversation about what they did today. That's opening up brand new horizons for both the parents and that child.
Other thing, too, you know, looking at childhood illnesses, you know, you're talking about the little person with had tubes put in their ears, you know, several times.
Sure.
And, you know, the general recommendation for these little people is antibiotics. And, you know, people listening may not know, but when you put a little person like that on antibiotics, it can literally derail their health for their entire life. You know, because those antibiotics go in and kill all the bacteria, you know, good and bad in the gut, and that tends to cause them to be susceptible to more infections, and so more antibiotics, and it becomes this cascade. You can almost see once they've had those antibiotics, the next thing that happens is strep throat, you know, and it just, it's so predictable. And with a product like colostrum, you can protect against these ear infections, throat infections, these kind of things, without the downside, without the negative effect on the gut, you know, and the rest of the immune system for the entire life. So it's a profound thing. And prevention is really a big deal, you know. It's so much easier to prevent cancer than it is to turn that truck around once it's gotten going, you know. Prevention is a little deflating for people because you can't declare, well, I know that I have prevented this or I know I have prevented that, but
actually you can, and here's what I mean by that. There's a health food store in right here where we live, and it was interesting because I've known the owner, Steve, for 15 years, I think. And it was interesting because as he picked up another product line, and when I called him, I said, Steve, Immune Tree is growing, let's get back into your store. He says, thank you. Now, I went to see him personally. He hugged me like 5 times in his store, and you know, all these people looking around, and I'm sure that they thought we were, you know, some kind of acquaintance or kin or relative or something. And he just kept saying, thank you, thank you. I had so many people returning product because it wasn't working. And he says, here's the difference. These same people have been on your product for years. And when you stepped away from that other company, they kept buying, but they weren't getting the results. And that's where I'm talking, you know, you're a business owner, aside from doing the radio and all the rest. If you had 100 different bottles coming back to you saying, it doesn't work anymore, what happened?
That would be discouraging.
Yes. And, you know, we've changed everything out. And what's fun about it, he's already placing other orders going, they can taste and feel, physically feel, the difference in the product.
Wow.
So can it be?
It does make a difference. As I've mentioned before, I've had many clients come to me with issues, and I give them information on colostrum. And, you know, I don't diagnose or prescribe. I just educate, you know, and let people make their own choices. And a lot of times when you introduce people to colostrum, if they've been searching for health answers for a while, they've come across information on it, and they've gone and picked out a product and tried it and been disappointed. And you ask them, you know, well, was it Immune Tree? Was it pure colostrum, you know? And they'll say, no, well, it was this company. And having studied colostrum, I know when they mention this or that company that it's not pure colostrum, it's transitional milk. And, of course, they didn't see the results, and you encourage them, well, just give this a try. If it doesn't work for you, you know, again, I'll give you your money back. And they try it, and it's just night and day difference. They suddenly begin to see the results that they've read about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and it comes down to, you know, on our first hour, our first interview, we didn't get into so much of the benefit as in what is colostrum, where does it come from, how does it form,
yes,
what are the differences? Well, I'm literally right now as we're speaking, I'm sitting out in front of our manufacturing facility doing this call with everybody out there. Part of the issue, and I had this question, and we'll get back to some of the benefits for kids and everything. Part of the issue is the production. Where do you start? Did you get true colostrum to begin with, or did you get transitional milk? Well, Donna, we're the only colostrum. A few years ago, Cornell University and Dr. Donald Lyon. Now, again, I'll reiterate, Cornell never endorses anybody, me included. All they do is they simply take something, they test it, and here are the results of those tests. We were the only colostrum out of all of the quote-unquote colostrums out there, and I mean all of them, that they went out and picked up on their own, tested. They went so far as to say Anthony Kleinsmith colostrum meets all scientific criteria for true colostrum, and then they even went further, which to me was rather kind of awesome for me, but they went so far as to say New Zealand and others meet the scientific criteria for transitional milk. So, of course, if somebody buys a transitional milk, reading all about the wonderful benefits of true colostrum but not getting true colostrum, you're not going to have the same kinds of benefits.
No, you won't.
You know, and that's where ImmuneTree really shines, is not only do we produce it, but then we also go so far as to manufacture it. Most colostrums out there, I will say all colostrums out there, don't do certain things. One, for the most part, they don't produce it. They don't actually take it from the farm level and put it into a from a liquid to a powder. But number two, most colostrums are not even manufactured by the same people that have produced it. They're manufactured for a marketing firm of some type or another. What we do here, folks, at ImmuneTree is we start at the baseline level, the farm. We make sure that the spray drying and the processing of that liquid to powder is 100%. And then we take it even further to take that powder and put it into its final format. I mean, I oversee every single batch that gets processed. Why? Because there are very specific parameters to ensure that that product will have an impact on your health, period. Now, sorry for my little tirade there, but I feel,
that's good to know. It's very important to know about the products that you're purchasing. You know, there's a lot of information on the Internet about, like you say, New Zealand. New Zealand's supposed to be just amazing. Well, it is amazing if you're doing butter or cheese, you know, those kinds of things. But when it comes to colostrum, they're some of the absolute worst because they will collect all the way up to, like, 72 hours, which it's just milk, you know, and you're not going to get the results.
Oh, gosh, in the United States, at 72 hours, you're buying it off of some grocer's shelf.
Yeah,
That's how fast that transition takes place. Well, we make sure that we don't do that. We only want that 0 to 6, maybe as long as 8 hours, and that's our cutoff.
Absolutely.
And what's fun about it is the testing. We do that, and it's kind of fun because I'm about to start doing some things on with videos that we're going to be going to farms. We're going to be videotaping some of the baby calves and doing some things like that. We're going to get out into the more homegrown issues, if you will, that people have asked. Because I get those questions all the time from different clients. No, I had one yesterday that it was kind of pertaining to what we're going through because she wanted, processing. It's important because I have a child with lactose intolerance. So we are extremely careful. They try to keep this child 100% on whole foods. And what is your processing like? So I walked her literally through if she were a farmer and what we would have to do with her to ensure that we would buy her colostrum and make her one part of our ImmuneTree family, if you will. And once we got through that, we got into when did your child, because there are two types of dairy intolerances or allergies. One is what we commonly refer to as just, you know, dairy intolerance. You have a lactose intolerance, and it can, you know, end up in bloating, gassy, diarrhea,
all kinds of nastiness that way. The other is a true dairy intolerance, more of an allergy where that may hit only one in a million people. And that's kind of like the people that have such an anaphylactic allergic reaction to, say, peanuts. That's one in a million people. It's not a common situation at all.
Right.
But a lactose intolerance, especially with kids. See, a lot of folks, they remember, well, I'm a lactose intolerant adult. When did that shift for you? When can you put your finger on that button or that time frame, if you will? Most of the people that I talk to that are lactose intolerant adults have great fond memories of eating, you know, cheese pizzas or macaroni and cheese or dairy of some type or another, and ice cream or what have you. But the issue shifts because, especially in today's society, with all the pollutants in the air and our foods, and you know, somebody said yesterday, cardboard food that we eat every day. We've lost something. We've lost that nutritional value that keeps our enzymatic production fulfilled in the way that it needs to be, so that we're producing the necessary enzymes that break down different proteins and sugars and what have you. Well, that's what colostrum is designed to do. It's designed not only to feed us, but it's also designed to balance us, to put our immune systems into more of a balanced state, to put our enzymatic production into a balanced state, to put a probiotic balanced state. And those are just, you know, two or three that you could just run a long page of different beneficial components through. Especially with kids, that one hits my heart pretty heavy, because they don't have that opportunity typically to say no, because the parent is saying, here, eat this or drink this, or here's a medicine, and typically it is the antibiotics. The colostrum is a choice that you can give to your kids that will start that will start them on a beneficial road for life. What do I mean? Because of doing this for 20 years, I literally have been able to follow some of those people that started out at, you know, zero hours of birth, if you will, meaning they were just brought to us, all the way through until they're 18, 20 years of age. It's interesting watching some of these people that as they've progressed throughout the years and they've been on our products. And literally, when we started out with little tiny babies that have colic and they're just pulling their little legs up and screaming like a banshee, I remember getting a call from a mother who was still in the hospital and saying, the doctors have said it's colicky baby. It hasn't stopped crying since it was born. That was 2 hours ago, other than to take a short cat nap and then come back to screaming.
Aww.
I said, well, do this. Dip your little finger into the powder. Have your husband go home, open up a capsule, or get one to you. Open up a capsule, dip your finger into it, and let it suckle it off. Watch what happens. Because of the respiratory, because of the gastrointestinal lining not being at 100%, they tell us with children that the gastrointestinal and the respiratory may take up to 3 to 4 years to be 100% fully functional. Well, when she did
that,
literally...
We have less than a minute left.
Within 24 hours, it was a changed child. So there you go.
That is such a blessing. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You know, also consider that sugar is just jet fuel for bacteria and viruses and cancer. So really consider reducing your levels of sugar while you're adding colostrum to your diet. Stay tuned, because we are going to have a few more broadcasts. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio and look underneath the broadcast, there's a button that says follow. If you click on that, Blog Talk Radio will notify you when we're having a new broadcast, and so you can stay connected to us. We look forward to Dr. Kleinsmith coming again next week. We'll have him on. And God bless everybody. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you being here, and we'll do this again soon, so stay tuned.
Bye-bye, all.